some lessons. And the first one is the error in thinking that just because someone has problems, or maybe an untimely death, or unemployment problems, financial problems, sicknesses, handicaps, relationship problems, for themselves or in their family or their extended family, that they're worse sinners than we are. Even in CPE, I still heard people, when they were in the hospital, you know, what have I done? Why is God doing this to me? It's not God. These are things that happen in life. We live in a fallen world. Our bodies are not perfect. We don't do everything perfect. These are things that just plain happen. Doesn't mean that God is punishing us or them. And it's not a sign of if someone's a bigger sinner than another person. God doesn't do that. But in the gospel, there's a warning. Jesus says, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? And he says, no, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. And then in true Jewish form, when there's something important that someone wants to get, you know, across in a conversation, they say it twice, he says to them, or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all those who lived in Jerusalem? And he says again, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. The warning is that we need to change ourselves. We need to change our own attitudes. Lent is a time for self-examination, not other people's examinations from our own heads. Jesus is telling us, rather than saying, ooh, that person is a sinner, concentrate and focus on yourself. Nobody else. Focus on your own sin and realize your own sin, and then pay attention and repent. Because unless we do, unless we realize our sin and change our ways, there are repercussions. So Jesus decides to tell them a story, because the story is always kind of a gentle way of telling people what's happening. Now for me, I have the man as God, the gardener as Jesus, and myself and all of us as the fig tree. The man went out looking and checking for fruit on his fig tree. And the man kept checking and kept checking and kept checking. And finally, the man decided, there's no growth. Nothing's happening. Let's cut it down. We're wasting the soil. He said, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and there's no growth. No attempt at growth. No change. No response. So if we look at that as ourselves with God, it's a good analogy. Because God has sent many judges, many apostles, many prophets over and over and over again to try to help his people from Adam and Eve's time till now. Lots of help. And God wants to see growth in us personally. But then the gardener says, well, yeah, that is true. There's no growth, but let me have one more time, one more chance to change. And to me, that sounds just like a kid with a puzzle. Just one more turn, one more try, one more time. Let's give it a go. And the gardener says, I will do all that I can, and I will give all that I've got to help this fig tree grow. If it bears fruit, well and good. But if after I've given my all, if it does not bear fruit, there's no growth and no change, you can come. cut it down. Well, the points of the gospel are with God's continual help. We can respond and we can grow. There should be some kind of response from us to our Lord. And another thing I noticed in the gospel is it doesn't imply that the tree has to have perfect fruit. It doesn't imply that there has to be tons and tons and abundance of fruit on the tree at first. But there needs to be some growth, some realization, some fruit, some action, the slightest of inkling in our growth. None of us is perfect, but with all that God has given us, we are to respond and grow closer to the Lord spiritually. And just the slightest growth pleases God as long as we keep trying. God is always present in our lives, whether we feel it or not. God sustains our lives, everybody's lives, whether we realize that and know it or not. He gives us continual guidance to follow His ways and to do His will, whether we listen or pay attention or not. And for me, like the gardener, Jesus did give all that He had, even to the point of His death. We are to trust in our Lord and have faith in Jesus. And as God said, remember just a few weeks ago, the Feast of the Transfiguration? Yes, Moses is good. Elijah is good. The Old Testament is well and good. But God wants us to listen, above all, to Jesus, our Lord, His beloved. And if we don't, eventually, there are consequences. There are repercussions. If we don't bear fruit, if we don't listen, if we don't focus on our own sin, on our own repenting, if we don't obey, if we just plain ignore God, there are repercussions and we will be cut off. And it's not so much God is cutting us off, as we're cutting off God. If we keep ourselves from growth from the vine or the branch from the fig tree, we can't grow. If we turn a deaf ear to the Lord, or as in the Old Testament it says, if we harden our hearts, or if we're stubborn people, thinking that, oh, well, they are bigger sinners than we are, I'm okay, but it's them that's sinning more, we have missed God's point, just like the Pharisees. They made praying to God. They made their religion and their faith a burden for their people. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, Jesus is an easy yoke to bear. Jesus makes accessibility to God easy. It's a snap if we just turn to Him. Lent is a time for self-examination, not other examination. And from us, our gracious and most holy and loving God expects and He desires our faith and our trust, our love and our true devotion, and our response, our action, our obedience, our doing, our bearing fruit, all the time doing that with compassion, patience, and mercy, and forgiveness, and forbearance of other people, like putting up with others, but all the time also doing it with love. Love of God, love of ourselves, and love of others. And that's how we grow closer to God through our Lord. And I thought for a while yesterday about gardens. And I thought to myself, well, each and every one of us can figure ourselves a bloom, a flower for God. Because if we think of a garden, and the gardener works and works and works, and tends and nurtures the garden, the flowers grow really well. if they respond to the nurture. And the flower becomes like a testimony, a witness to the gardener. And that beauty can be shown all over. For us, it's the same way. If we allow God to tend us and to nurture us and then respond back with love and His strength and His courage, we can be God's flowers and show Jesus' beauty in the world.